you can build companies and get profitable really quickly or get angel investment and grow in this region more easily than you can in any other region.
Welcome to Startupville, the show where we discuss what it's like to build a tech startup and a startup ecosystem in a small city. I'm Mike Wolsfeld, and welcome to the final episode in a special seven-part series on Uniting the Prairies, or UP Conference, hosted in our home city of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, in Canada, in the spring of 2019. Today, we're talking about the very reason this podcast exists, why small cities are rocking tech. Welcome to Startupville. Startupville is brought to you by Innovation Place and Martin Charlton Communications. This series is made possible by Colabs, Canada's hottest new tech incubator, and the organizers of the UP Conference. At Startupville, we not only reject the notion that Silicon Valley is the only place to build the next great startup, but we believe that the future of tech lives in what are now considered secondary markets. Silicon Valley has a lot of things to benefit tech startups. It has the world's largest collection of experienced talent, investors, and infrastructure that supports startups. But what the Valley also has is an astronomical cost of living and doing business. And perhaps most importantly, is surrounded by a bubble that isolates Valley startups from the realities of the outside world. Matt Golden of Golden Ventures grew up in the prairie city of Winnipeg and now leads one of Toronto's most successful venture capital firms. Before investing in Skip the Dishes, Matt had his own reservations regarding startups in secondary markets. When he had his opinions shattered by the Samaires and their co-founders, he learned a lot about the value that secondary markets bring to the startup world. And he encouraged his peers in the VC community and other founders and investors in these cities to take advantage of the opportunity right in front of you.
Okay, so, you know, again, I grew up in Winnipeg, and I understand, like, there is a sort of psyche in the prairies that there, like, when you meet a prairie person who's driven, like, look out. There is something extraordinary about them. There's something about growing up in these cities that gives you super high EQ. You can talk to everyone. You learn how to be friendly. You learn how to, you know, navigate social situations. Like, look at this guy. I mean, what are you, like, 18? And he's like, the guy's a beast. Give him a hand.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
No, he's a beast.
Like, I cold emailed you, and you didn't reply, Matt. Hey. I had to get a warm intro.
But you persisted. Exactly. So... there's these certain personalities in the prairies that just don't get out there. So the way I would describe, like, how do you be successful at building a company in your area is, number one, understand how the world views trying to do it in your area, and understand that there are certain things they view as, like, you're not going to be able to do it because. And then, so some of those things are, like, a lack of talent, right? Like, there's just not enough experienced talent. There's not enough experienced mentorship. There's a lack of capital to support you, right? So there's all of these kind of things. And then there's a lack of exit potential, right? Like, how many big exits are there other than Skip? Oh, we went through them, right? So, VCs and investors, you have to turn this model on its head like they have done and figure out how to use your own geography as an advantage rather than disadvantage. So what are some of those things that you can do and advice to build a company? Or number one, get on a plane. Get on a plane, get out of this ecosystem and go and meet people. Yep. Because then you get to leave there and come back to this amazing place and apply some of that learning. Yep. Of the good parts of thinking bigger, the good parts of building a network. Like, if you're building a company, finding domain experts who are in the top centers in the world and learning from them about how to tell your story so that when you go and pitch a VC, you're speaking the same language, right? Like, you walk in ready to roll, and all of a sudden they're like, you're based here? Like, how are you talking about it like that? The other thing is exactly what they've done, which is, again, by turning your geography into an advantage, you know, you're not going to be able to go and just pitch the dream like, oh yeah, we're going to bring all this amazing talent in and we're going to build this big company. Right from day one, they're unit economic positive. So they are building a business with real business fundamentals And so you let the business speak for itself alongside building that level of sophistication. And if you do those two things, I think you're in a way better position and access to great talent that's not so expensive. So you can build companies and get profitable really quickly or get angel investment and grow in this region more easily than you can in any other region. And so again, turn what is seen as a disadvantage into an advantage, get sophisticated, and that I think that's my advice.
Skip the Dishes was a rocket ship consumer startup, but most of the growth in secondary markets is in B2B SaaS, or software as a service. One of the biggest benefits of starting outside the Valley is that you can have a much closer connection with the real problems that impact businesses. Kevin Swan of Solium, a recent billion-dollar Prairie success, outlined how secondary markets allow you to solve the real problems outside of Silicon Valley hype cycles, and how to use the veil of obscurity to grow with less competition.
In areas outside of the Silicon Valley, tons of enterprise SaaS companies, right? Tons of companies that are doing work that is not necessarily glamorous, but they do it in a way that creates incredible culture, have incredible people, and you don't have to compete in the same ways. You don't necessarily have to raise a ton of money if you're working in some of these industries that have a little bit less focus from the big metropolitan areas. Solium's a great example. They raised $23 million their entire life and had a $1 billion exit. You look at Shopify. When they started, Shopify's massive now and a great brand. They didn't get a fast start, right? It was when Toby started, he built something for himself. Some friends used it. It kind of took off from there. He wasn't in a market that was seeing a bunch of venture capital money pour into it, and he didn't have to compete with those dynamics. So the point I wanted to take away here is don't be afraid to go after this, the hard problems you see that maybe aren't in a big hype cycle, and maybe they're not exciting to talk about when you're out with your friends. But it can be just as exciting to build these types of companies. And it's so cool right now seeing all these enterprise SaaS companies go public, from the Zooms to the Slacks. We already talked about a bunch of them before. Qualtrics, that company in Utah, they just had the largest exit for a private enterprise SaaS company ever, $8 billion to SAP. That company was started in the basement of the Smith family, two brothers and a dad, 15 years ago. And they started simply selling survey software to university professors. And 15 years later, and for the first 8-9 years, they didn't even take any capital. And they now sell it to some of the biggest companies in the world. There's a lot of different ways to build companies, and there's a lot of different approaches you can take when you're outside of those metropolitan areas that can be a path to success.
Michael Skizens grew up in Saskatoon and has since founded multiple Silicon Valley startups. He led mergers and acquisitions at the world's largest beer company and is now building CareerList. Michael has learned many things over the years, and one of his key findings was shattering his preconceived notions of Silicon Valley dominance and the idea that some cities and institutions are inherently better than others. He urged founders at the conference to dig in their heels and hold on to what makes their outlook unique, while taking opportunities to learn and grow from the major hubs.
And I think it also depends on the investors that you get as well. You know, when you raise money, you have, you know, you start to get pressure to hire people. Because, you know, no investor wants their money sitting in the bank. They may not tell you that, but they don't. You know, you got to grow or not grow. You know, it's up or out. So I think it's making sure that, you know, you have the structure set up, and when you do raise money, you know what you're going to do with it, and that you have a plan, but you know it's going to leave its course. But you learn as you go, and I can't stress enough that, especially in the first ventures, I think coming out of Saskatoon originally, I'll just be totally honest. Like, coming out of Saskatoon originally, I probably overvalued a bunch of things outside of coming from here. I probably overvalued the name of going to a prestigious U.S. school because I didn't even go through a school search. I just went to the U of S. I didn't know that there were other schools. I seriously didn't. Like, it never opened my mind that I would go anywhere besides the U of S. I loved it. It was amazing. But all of a sudden, you know, talking to investors, and they're like, you know, in New York, Toronto, and it's like, oh, this, you know, team went to Columbia, or they studied engineering at Stanford. Like, one of my best engineering friends I know who heads photo engineering at Google for Google Photos went to the U of S. He didn't go to Stanford. So I think I started to overvalue a lot of things, and I almost feel like I tried to overcompensate. So I tried to overcompensate with the big names or the experience or the big companies. And I think those things started to become a disadvantage, where I think if I knew what I knew now, and I think, you know, this incredibly impressive who's in this room and the conversations of the people that I met and just how far it's come. But the work value and the ethics and the, you know, figuring it out and the teamwork and the things that come from living here are the most important things that you can possibly maintain. And, you know, do not let anyone take that away. If you do open up an office in Toronto, keep, you know, what you've got here as the core. I would be very reluctant to open up other, you know, you're going to have to from, you know, I think for talents and some reasons, but, you know, just don't lose that core values and skill set you've got. I think I definitely lost some of that for a while, and I think it took losing $50 million and crashing back to the earth in a pretty magnificent way. I don't recommend doing that either because it's painful as shit. Still have PTSD about it. I think the short answer to this long ramble was just the things that you learn being here are the most important things you're going to have culturally. I would back the honest, hardworking, up when the sun's up, up working, making things happen, coming up with ideas, collaborating person 10,000 times over like the PowerPoint, kind of don't have that vision of the world of kind of entitled view. So that's, I think, the most important part of maintaining the culture is keeping that being the soul of yourself and your team.
Nathan Elliott, CEO and co-founder of FrontRunner, is a lot earlier in his startup journey, but he's also noticed some key benefits to keeping headquarters at home. Their ad tech hardware and software has a customer base almost exclusively in major centers. So they were faced with a tough choice for where to locate the company. What they realized is that through modern communication methods, they could take advantage of a Toronto-based sales team while retaining headquarters and R&D where they can take advantage of small city benefits.
So we built a company in Regina and in that garage and built a great team, and that's where our R&D started. But then we quickly recognized that about 90% of the advertising dollars are decided in Toronto. So a few of the business development team went out to Toronto and started generating sort of revenue via doing deals with media companies like the WPP, large-scale brands, but keeping our ecosystem in Regina where that is done. How do we maintain that? Well, it's interesting. It's using technology to be able to do that. We sort of hit this sort of tipping point time to say, do we move our operations to Toronto as the majority of decisions are being made there? We said no, and these are the reasons. One, we can basically get two employees for the price of one in Toronto. Two, we're able to get our office space at 1/3 of what's paid in Toronto where the decisions are being made. We also sort of looked at just the ability to get talent that was great talent and to keep them working and that we weren't scared that they're going to leave by empowering them. So that was extremely important. Four, we're able to get New York City and Toronto-based prices by developing content in Regina that leads a lot to like really start margin work. And then finally, we've just had a great sort of government through the tax efficiencies that incentivize us to keep our operations here or in Regina in this case. And how we can keep that interconnectivity is through, you know, the mobile device. That's what it's about. We sort of, you know, live in this sort of age of the experiential, and we sort of rely on that to replicate out what it would be the eye to eye or the face to face using technology.
So now we're getting to the end of our special series on the UP Conference. Uniting the Prairies was an energizing day and a half in Saskatoon's historic Besborough Hotel, bringing together over 650 tech leaders from the Canadian Prairies. So to close off this series, we'll leave you with the closing words at the conference from the Executive Director of CoLabs and the brains behind the event, Jordan Duchak.
But what's important here is that everybody came in this room and they didn't come with the intent of everybody should move to Calgary or everybody should move to Saskatoon or Winnipeg or Edmonton or Regina. No. We came in this room together, and regardless of where you were from, that's not the question I was hearing. You know, which city you're from? Oh, you're not from my city? Oh, we're not working together. No, it was everybody is here playing on the exact same team, trying to help each other. Really great example. Look at the Skip founders, right? First company, I mean, they're from PA, started in Saskatoon, headquartered in Winnipeg. Now their next company, they're headquartered in Saskatoon, and half the other founders just started a new company in Calgary, right? So the message is that we are stronger together and we have something that is intrinsically unique. And you hear, you know, throughout all the speeches, it's this dual dichotomy of humility and also being way more aggressive than we actually are. You hear those two themes through every single talk. And so those are the things that I think we have to internalize and take away from this. Up will happen next year. It will be bigger, it will be better. And I can say that we have a laundry list of expats from all three provinces that, you know, not all of them could be here, but I'll tell you right now, I have confirmations from one of the founders of Uber, who's from Calgary, the first technical engineer for Uber, who's from Calgary, the CEO of Tile, who is from Winnipeg, and the president of Microsoft Canada, let alone Michelle Zatlin, who's from PA, and her company is worth almost $6 billion. So tonight, we'll continue this conversation, but let's take everything we just learned and let's push harder and faster. And I expect that next year, Pivot has 3 trillion employees and they're spread over all three provinces and we're all screwed because there's no talent. But we are going to come here next year and we're gonna talk about the progress that we had. Think of this as the update that you send to your investors. You come here every year and whether the company failed, whether it grew, it doesn't really matter. This is the anchor point. And we're gonna do this every single year. So I want to say thank you to everyone, and we'll see everybody next year.
Startupville is brought to you by Innovation Place, helping grow the tech sector in Saskatchewan, Canada, and is produced in partnership with Martin Charlton Communications at WeTellYourStories.ca. This series is made possible by Colabs, Canada's hottest new tech incubator, and the organizers of the UP Conference. Our show is produced by me, Mike Wolfsfeld, and our host, Dan Gold. Our theme music is from Gigi Riggs and Reactor Productions. Learn more about us and our guests at innovationplace.com/startupville. Or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at StartupVillePod. See you next season on StartupVille.